Parshas Vayikra. Hope you excuse my voice. Parshas Vayikra begins an entirely new chapter in the Torah. It begins the parsha of Avodah. In other words, whereas Bereishis and Shemois were really creating the background for the preparation for the Avodah, Vayikra really is a parsha that begins the Avodah. It begins the korbanos. It begins the process of tshuva. It begins the process of how a person should relate to himself and to Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore, everywhere else is just preparing a structure, a basic mishkan to prepare for parsha Vayikra. Parsha Vayikra begins the Avodah itself, and the parsha begins with a pasuk. We discussed this in the past about the Vayikra with a small aleph, but anova being a basic function of korbanos. But I want to work through something else this year. The pasuk says in pasuk base, "Davel b'nei Yisrael, say to Klal Yisrael, amar talem, and say to them as follows: Odom ki yakriv mikem korban Hashem. Odom, that's makriv from himself a korban to Hashem. Mina behema, mina boko, mina tzoyin tekriv es korbanchem." Okay, so we discussed last year why it says Odom over here by a korban adova. And it says, Nefesh Kisechte, we're talking about a korban of a chet. Okay, that's very nice thought. But let's understand over here, Odom. So Rashi brings Odom. Loma Nema, why Odom? Odom is a very strange word to be used. So he says, Ma Odom originally hikriv min ha-gezel. So that's like Odom Rishon did not bring anything only from things that belong to him, did not bring from gezel. Shakol ho-yishloi, it all belonged to him. Af atem le-sakrivim min ha-gezel, so too, neither should you bring from gezel. Now this Rashi, the Rishonim ask, is a very, very difficult Rashi to understand. First of all, who says Odom Rishon could not bring from Gezel? He had children, he had grandchildren, he lived for almost 1,000 years. So Odom Rishon, this Odom Rishon could have brought from thousands of kabbonos from Gezel. So what's arrived from there? Secondly, what's a havamina? Why should you even think for a second that you can bring a behemoth from Gezel? Why didn't it say Odom when you shake a luluf? You shouldn't shake a luluf, just like Odom Rishon didn't shake a luluf from Gezel. So what's the idea? So it's a very difficult Rashi. So I'd like to focus, obviously there's a pshat to understand Rashi, but I'd like to focus on the ideas based on Odom Rishon and understanding what happened over there. Korbanos, Rabbi Isai, is all about working on yourself. It's not about bringing a fat, juicy steak to the Mizbeach and say, Ribbono Shel Olam, you know what, I did an Avera, fine, here's an animal, off I go. It's all about using the experience of bringing a korban and creating that as a dynamic and a springboard to do tshuva. The Chassidish Rebbe say, Odom ki yakriv mikem, if you're makriv mikem, if you're makriv from yourself, in other words, if you yourself become closer through the korban, then it's korban Hashem. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers that as a korban. However, min a behema, min a boker, min a tzoin, if it's just bringing a korban because it's you know it's this animal or that animal, and therefore there's no mikem involved, there's nothing of you involved in the korban, then takrivo es korban chen, bring your own korbanos. It's nothing to do with me. There's no shaykhus to me. If it's mikem, then it's my korban, korban Hashem. If it's something to do with you, it's just a regular korban, it's an animal, then takrivo es korban chen, you're bringing your own korbanos. It's nothing to do with me. So Parshas Vayikra is introducing us to the concept of working on oneself and appreciating through the korbanos the concept of what it should be doing to make it mikem, to make it a part of you, to come closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam through the process of bringing korbanos. The Medrash says, Odom ki yakriv mikem korban Hashem, says the Medrash. He translates Odom differently. Ma Odom, that's the Odom Rishon, Shechoto v'hikriv korban, did a chet, and he brought a korban. Af am, so too, you should also bring a korban like Odom Rishon. Now, what's the limud of Odom Rishon did a chet? Plenty of people did chatoim. Yeah, plenty of people through the history of Klal Yisrael up to this time did chatoim. So why say just like Odom Rishon did a chet? And he brought a korban, so too you should bring a korban. What's the limit from Odom more than anyone else? Number one. Number two, what's Pshat Odom ki yakriv mikem? Look at the pasuk carefully. It says Odom ki yakriv mikem. Odom, which means a singular, that Yaakov Mikan brings from your Korban Hashem. Min Behema, min Abakim, min Atzayim, Takrivo es Korban Chem. You should bring yours, animal, plural Korban. So why does it start off Adam Yaakov Mikan as a singular, and then talk about Takrivo es Korban Chem in plural? Why does it change from singular to plural? So the Ksav Sefer opens up the parasha and says, "This is introduction to the parasha." And I want to work with the Mahalach of two Ksav Sefers and understand clearly what the Torah is trying to tell us at this stage of the parasha. For a person to admit guilt, for a person to do something wrong, and then to go back and say, "I was wrong. It was a mistake. It was a miscalculation. I was foolish," takes a lot of hard work. It takes honesty, it takes integrity, it takes bravery. It's hard. For a person to go along through life and blame other people, and blame different circumstances, and blame and point the finger at anyone else besides himself, is the natural thing to do. It's a normal thing to do. That way you shift the blame, you don't feel bad about yourself, you feel good about what you're doing. But to take yourself and to say, "No, I did something wrong, I am the only one responsible, I've got to do better, I was foolish," takes strength. Says the parasha, this beginning of the parasha, before you start bringing korbanos, before you start trying to understand the intricate details of korbanos, you have to understand the idea of blame. Blame means you are the only one responsible. And the fact is, says the Torah, I'm going to open you up to this parasha through different midrashim and show you how naturally you'll be blaming other people and showing you that that's wrong. Says the Ksav Sefer, let's take Adam Arishon. Adam Arishon did a terrible, terrible Aveira. And he got caught out. The Kodesh Baruch Hu told him, Kodesh Baruch Hu did not tell him to learn Shas. Hashem did not tell him to be a tremendous tzaddik. Kodesh Baruch Hu told him one simple thing: do not eat from the Eitz Hadas. What did he do? He ate from the Eitz Hadas. He ate from the Eitz Hadas. How did he do this? How is that possible? How is that possible? And how did he get away with this? So the Kli Yakar, I want to back us up with the Kli Yakar. The Kli Yakar says that there are three different Lashonos in the parasha of Korbanos when it comes to a chet. There's a Lashon of Asher. Asher nosi yechto. Asher, the word Asher. Asher nosi yechto. There's another Lashon of Nefesh ki sechte. Lashon of ki. And then there's a third lashon of im kol hadas b'nei Yisrael, if all of them do an avera. Now, what's the difference between asher, ki, and im? So asher means when or that. Okay, it's almost certain. Asher, when that happens, then that's what you should do. Okay, ki means if. It's probable. It's likely. Im is in case, not that probable. And therefore you have a case of asher, which is certain. We have im, we have ki, which is probable. And im, not that probable. So three different lashonos. Ask the Kli Yakar, why do we use the three different lashonos? So he explains as follows. Beautiful, beautiful Kli Yakar. He says like this. He says, when does it say the lashon of im? If, something improbable, improbable. The pasuk says, "Im kol hadas Yisrael yishku." If the whole klal Yisrael make a shogeg, he says, for a whole klal Yisrael to do something wrong, and not for one person to stand up and say, "Rabbi Yisai, this is against the halacha," it's very, very improbable. And therefore, use lashon of im. It's very unlikely, it's highly improbable, and therefore, use lashon of im. However, for a yochid himself to do an avera, not a whole tzibur to do an avera, Yochid himself, that's more probable. Use lashon of ki. Yep. If, it's probable. Nefesh ki sechto. When a nefesh ki sechto does nechet. He said, but what is very probable is if you have a corrupt leader and he does not behave himself, then this is for sure going to lead him to sin. Asher nosi yechto. If a nosi is somebody who's not perfect, then asher, it's only a matter of time that for sure he's going to sin. That is vadai. That's asher. Asher nosi yechto, he's vadai going to sin. And therefore, it's used a language of when, not if, and not a language of perhaps. It's absolutely probable, it's absolutely going to happen, and that's why Loshon of Asher. See, he says, if so, why does it say even by Yochid, sometimes im, and sometimes ki? Listen to this carefully. Someone says, im nefesh achasechto, okay? Im nefesh achasechto, which is, or translated to be, more probable, okay? And then also sometimes it says, nefesh kisechto, which we says is?
Middle probable.
Therefore, why do we use sometimes by yochid, the loshon of im, and loshon of ki? A loshon of im, meaning highly improbable, and loshon of ki, which means probable. Also he asks, listen to this, you've got to see how beautiful it fits in. Also he asks, why does it say in nefesh achas? When it talks about im, it says nefesh achas. Okay? When it's, and why nefesh achas? Obviously nefesh is singular. So why say im, if nefesh achas, one nefesh? Im nefesh, what's achas? See, he says beautifully, he says that this. He says a person sins because he sees other people doing aveiros. A person gets schlepped after the rabbin. A person gets influenced by somebody else's opinions. A person gets influenced by the behavior of other people he's living around. And therefore, when it comes to a person doing an aveira as a yochid, then it's im nefesh achasechto. Then it's nefesh kisechto. Then it's Lashon of Ki, which means it's probable. When it's together with a lot of people, if a single person does an Avera, but he's within a crowd of a lot of other people doing things wrong, then it's a Ki. It's highly, much more probable. Masha Ein Kein, Nefesh, Acha Sechto, when one person is doing an Avera himself, in other words, he's not seeing anyone else do it, that is a Lashon of Im. That's highly improbable. So he said, that's a chiluk. He said, the difference is, for a person to be schlepped after bad example, for a person to be convinced to do an aveira chas v'shalom, is not, unfortunately, not improbable at all. But for a person to do something himself, with absolutely no motivation from the outside, to stand up inside to do an aveira himself, that's highly improbable. That's why loshon im nefesh achas. If it's a nefesh achas, then we use a loshon of im, then you lose a loshon of highly improbable. Says Ksav Sofer, look at Adam Arishon. Adam Arishon did a terrible Avera. What did he try and do? Afterwards, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, what are you doing? What did he do? He pointed the finger at his wife. And he said, it was my wife's fault. Asher Shemata, he says very clearly, it's my wife's fault. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, doesn't help you, Bechlal. You got to take blame yourself, young man. It doesn't help you. Asher Shemata, Kol Ishtecho, you have an Avera for listening to your wife. And therefore, you're responsible for your actions, and therefore you have to bring a korban. Begins a parasha. Don't blame other people for your aveiros. En hachanama, of course, if a person is within a group of people who are not machmir on a particular nakuda, of course a person gets pulled along by the stream. Of course a person gets influenced to do particular aveiros. And it's much less probable he would have done this if it was not for the tzibur. However, when he does do an Avera, and when he chas v'shalom does fall through, then the ma'aser, you have yourself to blame. Just like Adam Arishon blamed his wife, it didn't help him bechlal, so too says the pasuk, Adam ki yakriv. Does Adam Arishon have to bring a korban even though he tried to blame somebody else? So too you, when you try and blame somebody else, it's not going to help you. You've got to bring a korban. Don't blame other people for your misfortune. Don't blame other people for what you did wrong. The fact is, Asher Shemata Kol Ishtecho, you listen to your wife, you listen to the bad example, you yourself are responsible. That's the first idea of the parasha. Don't blame other people for your mistakes. You got to take responsibility for the actions you did wrong yourself. Therefore, says a pasuk, those people who are lamaisa responsible for what you did, that are on a level, that are responsible, also need a kapara. The Gemara says, Hamachti es acherim, a person who made other people sin, ein maspikim yodoi lasas tshuva. You don't learn to do tshuva, why? Shlo yehei hu began Eden, but tamida began Gehenim. You can't be that he's in Gan Eden, and his Talmid that learnt from him is in Gehenna, right? And therefore he doesn't allow him to do tshuva. Therefore, says the Pasuk, once you take responsibility for your actions, Adam ki yakriv mikem, when you realize you're Adam Arishon and you take responsibility for your actions, only then the tzibur can have a kapara for what they made you do wrong. Then, takrives korban chem, then they, it's as if they brought their korban too. Once you did tshuva, they get their kapara. Of course they're responsible for making you do something wrong. But lemaisa, the fault is clearly on your doorstep and you've got to deal with it. That's the first concept, that's the first idea of not shifting blame on other people. The Ksav Sefer brings another medrash. Ma odom, odom ki akriv mikem, ma odom, she hiskel ba veira v'hikriv korban, v'nimchaloi, just like odom arishoin, did an aveira, he brought a korban and he was nimchaloi, and he was had mechila, kein takrivo atem, so too you should bring a korban. What's pshat over there? What's pshat? Just like odom arishoin did something wrong and brought a korban, so should you. What's that idea over there? Yaakov, listen to this. This is gewaldig. Ksav Sefer. You know, I don't know how psychologists would be very happy with this, but this is fact. Says the Torah like this. He says, a main element of a korban, says the Ksav Sefer, we mentioned beforehand, is mikem. Is understanding it's you. You've got to take responsibility for your actions. Adam Arishon was different to any other person. Why? Because other people generally blame two particular elements on why they do things wrong. Number one, they blame the Yetzer Hara. They blame their character. You know, I have a middah of Kaas. I have a middah of Taiva. I have a middah of Machlokes. I have a middah of Kanos. You blame it on a character fault. You blame it on the Yetzer Hara. It's not me. It's my Yetzer Hara. What can I do? I've got this terrible Yetzer Hara for this, a terrible Yetzer Hara for that. They blame it on the Yetzer Hara. Secondly, people blame it on genetics. You know, I had a very violent father. My mother was this. My grandparents were that. They blame it on genetics. You know, go to any psychologist today, they'll let you off the hook and blame it on a father. Or abusive great-grandfather, or grandmother who ate too much knobble or too much garlic on a Friday night. They'll blame it on any different thing. They'll not blame it on you. Because you're okay. They'll blame it on something else. You've got nothing to worry about. Blame it on somebody else. Whoever's paying the bill has nothing to pay. There's nothing to blame themselves for. People not paying the bill, they get all the blame. Adam HaRishon did not have these two elements to blame it on. The Ramban says, before the Chet, he didn't have a Yetzer Hara as we know it. So he could not blame it on the Yetzer Hara. Right? Secondly, he certainly could not blame it on genetics. He never had any genetics. He never had parents or grandparents to blame it on. And therefore, says Ksav Sefer, when Adam HaRishon brought the korban, who did he say was at fault? He had to say that it must be me. It is my fault. And therefore, I've got to bring a korban. I am responsible. Says the Pasuk, so too, when you bring a korban, be like Adam HaRishon. Don't blame it on genetics and don't blame it on the Yetzer Hara, because it's you and nobody else. Ma Adam Shehischel Baveri, he's one who began the Averi. There was no Averis beforehand. Vehikriv Korban Vanimchla, he brought a Korban and he got a Kapara. Why? Because he knew there's no one to blame it on. Kain Takrivo Atem. So too, when you bring a Korban, make sure that you know there's nobody else to blame but you. Not Yetzer Hara, not genetics, and not other people in the public. The blame stays clearly on your doorstep. Now, what's the first pshat? Kodesh Baruch already told them, don't blame other people. Other people, bad influence is one thing. Bad influence is a first fault. Right. This is not talking about bad influence, it's talking about bad genetics, in the genetic makeup, and also the idea of that genetic makeup, and also the idea of my character. That's the way I was born. That's who I am. No, there's no such thing. Akush Baruch Hu knows who you are and how you're born, and therefore there's no such excuse. So the first, yeah, so there's two different elements over here. The third way of blame is on circumstance. I'm not blaming other people. I'm not blaming who I am. I'm not blaming my parents. I'm blaming circumstance. I'm born into a position. I am who I am because circumstance put me in that position. There's a very, very beautiful Ramosha. Ramosha Feinstein says, V'nosan al karnes mizbach o'ilo, in Perik Dalet, Pasuk Lamed, he brings a Mishnah in Kinim. This Mishnah in Kinim, Perik Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, it's one of the most difficult parokim, difficult mesechtas in Shas, Mishnayis, because of this halacha. And he says as follows, Chatos behema lamalo. El chatos behema, you have to sprinkle the blood lamalo. Lamalo of what? Lamalo over the chut hasikro. Over the, there's like a line on the mizbeach. You have to sprinkle the blood of the chatos above the line on the mizbeach. Chatos o oif lamato. A chatos of oif, you bring a chet offering for an oif. Lamato, that's below the chut hasikro. Asks Ramosha, why is it that behema is above and the oif is below? What's the idea behind it? So he says, who brings a chatos behema? Who is this who brings it? A chatos behema is brought by a gevir. He can afford to bring a big animal. Why does a gevir sin? Why does he do things that he shouldn't be doing? So we know the pasuk says that Yishman Yishurim Vayivot Vatishkach. Yishurim got fat. Yishurim he became bloated, and he kicked and forgot Ribbono Shleilam. The problem with the Gevir is, he forgets Ribbono Shleilam. He thinks he's in control. And because he can buy up any property he wants, and drive any car he wants, and buy out any single governor in town, he thinks he can do the same to Ribbono Shleilam. He thinks he's in control, and therefore he forgets Ribbono Shleilam. And that's why he does a chet. Says the Torah, when you bring a korban chatos, when you come to the Beis Midosh, and we're trying to catch your attention, we're trying to bring you back to realizing you're responsible, what do we do? We take the blood and we sprinkle it above. In other words, focus on Shemayim. Focus on the Ribbono Shleilam. Realize that the circumstances have brought you to Chet. Refocus. Get back to understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control. And therefore what you did wrong in your circumstance of being a wealthy man is wrong and requires tshuva. That's why he focuses on above, on the malo. An oni is exact opposite. An oni is not somebody who forgets about the Ribbono Shleilam. An oni is not somebody who is doing so well that he feels it in control. On the exact opposite. An oni does a chet because he feels rejected. He feels that Kodesh Baruch Hu has forgotten about him. He feels that Kodesh Baruch Hu has neglected him. He feels that Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't care about him, and therefore I'm going to rebel. That is why an oni goes against Ribbono Shleilam. Now, so for us to tell him, bring a korban and focus on Shemayim, focus on the Ribbono Shleilam, would just make things matters worse. He's going to just do even worse. He's going to be even more b'charif megadif. So what do? We say to the oni, do it below. Sprinkle the blood below. What's below? Focus on the ground. Focus on that you are above something that you're sprinkling the blood above. Focus what you do have. Realize that you're alive. There are plenty of people who are below the ground, and you're above the ground. You have health, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the health. You have family, thank Hashem for the family. You have a little bit to eat, thank Hashem for that little bit to eat. Therefore, focus on below. Focus on what you do have. Focus on the wealth that Kodesh Baruch has given you in other things besides money. That's what you should focus on, and that's how you do tshuva. Circumstances have caused an oni to behave one way and an osher to behave another way. What you have to do with the korban is show them that you're right, that circumstance may have brought you to this chet, but it's not something that you can blame it on. You've got to refocus, take responsibility, and say, Ribbono Shleilam, I'm wrong. Therefore, this first part of the parasha is basically identifying four elements of why a person should shift the blame from himself and say it's not Mikem. Say it's not from me, I'm not to blame. Number one, bad influence by other people. Number two is the idea of the Yetzirah, his character. Number three is his genetics, his parents, the way that's the way he's born. And number four is circumstance. And from all this we say, not true. You are the one to blame. You did the Avera. Take responsibility. Do what you have to do and do tshuva and move on. That is this the introduction to this week's parasha. How does one do tshuva? The pasuk says, we discussed this in various different times, I've got a couple of new mahalchim over here. Kichol se'or v'chol devash. The pasuk says, in Perek Beis, pasuk yudal, pasuk yud beis, when you're bringing a korban of a mincha, kol mincha shetakriba l'Hashem, any mincha they bring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, leisei osei chometz, nomei chometz, kichol se'or v'chol devash. Sorry. Any se'or, any yeast, and any devash, any honey, leisaktiru mimenu ishe l'Hashem, should not be offered up for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, says the Pasuk, Pasuk Yud Beis, korban reishis, the korban of reishis, takriva oisem l'Hashem, that you should be makriv HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, when it comes to the korban of reishis, which is the korban they bring on Shavuos, that you do bring, in that context, se'or, you do make it chometz, v'nemizbeach l'yal l'reich n'chalech, we don't bring it on the mizbeach. Ask him a farshim, why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not allow us to bring se'or and devash on the mizbeach? What's the idea behind it? So Chassam Sofer says something very nice. He says, se'or and devash, you don't bring on the mizbeach. Melach, salt, you do. In fact, the Pasuk says, v'chol korban menachos korban melach timloch, every korban you have, put salt on. So if the idea is to have a natural taste of a korban, why are we allowed to bring salt and not allowed to bring se'or and devash? So the Chassam Sofer says like this. He says, devash represents taiva, sweetness, making a veir look sweet, making it look tempting, that's taiva. He says, se'or represents kovod, inflated ego. Okay? He said three things. Kina, taiva, and kovod, mitzinas, odom, and olam. They take you out, they completely knock you out of this world. He says, kina, a taiva, and kovod, you never have. Taiva and kovod, you should never have. He said, however, that's why se'or and devash, we don't ever bring on the mizbeach. It's never used for avodas Hashem. But there's one thing that should be used, and that is kina. Kina. Jealousy. When should kina be used? The Mefarshim say, the Gemara brings down, kina sofrim taba chochma. If you're jealous of the right people, increases chochma. And therefore, how do we get salt? Salt is where you have seawater mixed up, water and salt, and the heat of the sun, what it does is it evaporates the water and you're left with the salt. That's you're left with salt. He said, what is this evaporation? Kina is trying to be like something else. It's striving to be like the position of another person. This person's got this beautiful house. I want to be in that position. You're striving to be like that person. That is a representation of the water that strives to rise, to reach higher positions. Reaching higher positions, to be higher in ruchnius. That's fine. If you're trying to rise towards the sky, if you're trying to rise towards the sun, if you're trying to rise towards Shemayim, that's fine if you're left with salt. That kind of kinna, where you're striving towards heights, and you're left with the kinna of being jealous for the right reasons, that's perfectly okay. That salt is a part of the Avodas Hashem. So time them covered, so Oyer and Devash never. But salt, which is a striving towards the heights of Shemayim for the right reasons, that kind of kin is absolutely fine. That's what I want on the Mizbeach. That's what the Chassam Sofer says. But there's another book. We don't have time for very, very briefly. There's a lot of different problems with different pshatim they give on this. So one pshat, the Sholem Eshiv, Rabbi Yosef Sholem Natanzon says, se'oyer is all about bitter, right? Devash is all about sweetness. In other words, se'oyer is strictness. It's bitter, it's strict, it's heavy, it's being very, very, very strict and being very fast in a particular way. Devash is all about being sweet and kind and pleasant. He says, any of these two extremes of either Sa'oir or Devash is no good. No good. Neither of them are very good. The Rambam says, everything we do is going to be in the middle. Rambam Hilchos Deis, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis. Every middle you have, Leilich Derech Emtzo, so you've got to go in the middle. And therefore, he says, however, in a case where a person is much more towards one way than the other way, then you should bend far more towards the opposite extreme, and that way you'll get to the middle. You have a stick that's bent, you want to get the stick straight, it bends to the opposite extreme, and it goes back to the middle again. So you see, that's Peshat over here. Never should you have a case where you either Sa'oir or Dvash. However, he says, Korban Reishis, when he's trying to make a new Korban, a new start, then Takrivim Oifim Lashem, then you can use one more than the other. The person's very, very strict. And you need to get a little bit, you know, you've got to calm down a bit. Then be over sweet, and that way you get to the middle. Trying to make a new ratio, a new start, then other Abba, use one over the other. Okay? That's all very nice pshatim, but there's major flaws with them. And that is as follows. Rav Shamsha Rafal Hirsch points out that what Devash are we talking about here? Fruit. In other words, fruit Devash. In other words, not necessarily from dates. But any fruit, any sweet fruit, any juice from a fruit, that's what it's also to bring on the korban. Honey from a bee is perfectly mutter. Therefore, sweet and sour doesn't really come to the real crux of it, because you can have something sweet, yeah, as long as it's not from fruit. Secondly, as well, you may not bring it as a korban, but you're certainly allowed to mix it in with a korban afterwards. If I want to shmear some honey of some dates on my mincha after the shrine has been taken place, I'm allowed to do that. I can't put it on the mizbeach. So therefore, again, we see there's an element there of allowing sweetness, just not being brought on the mizbeach. Thirdly, asked Rav Shamsha Rafal Hirsch, if sweetness is so osa and chometz is so bad, why on the yom tov of Kabbalah Satira on Shavuos do we dafka allow sa'oir and honey? What's a honey? We bring bikurim, you know, the fruits to the mizbeach. Dafka on that korban, dafka on that day of Kabbalah Satira, where it's supposed to be extra chomor, those two disgusting things that we talked about, sa'oir and devash, gaiva and taiva and all that, that suddenly becomes mutar on Shavuos. What's the idea behind it? And he said, thirdly, the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanon, minayin lemaila mibasa chatus abasa osham. What happens if a person has, listen to this, Rabbi Yisai, what if a person has a korban chatos, and his makriv, the aimrim on the mizbeach? Right? So now, he's allowed to eat the rest of the korban. So that meat that he's allowed to eat now, he takes that meat and he offers that up onto the mizbeach. Is there anything wrong with that? Is there anything wrong with being makriv, the shirayim, that the Torah allows you to eat now from doing a different pula? Are you allowed to be makriv that? Says the Gemara, you're even a leisasi. Learn from this pasuk, you're not allowed to makriv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the idea? How do you learn from this pasuk, Chol Sa'or V'Chol Devash? Also, Shem Shafal Hish very, very beautifully. He says, there are three elements that's wrong in this parasha. There's Sa'or, there's Devash, and there's leftovers. What's the connection? He says, what is Sa'or? Sa'or is the opposite of Matzah. What is Matzah? Matzah represents dependence. Matzah represents slavery. We're relying on other people for our food. It represents dependence. Slavery in Mitzrayim, the Chag of Pesach, where he's trying to show how we were dependent, we eat matzah, it represents dependence. On the other hand, what represents independence? Sa'or. So we say, Ribbono Shel'olam, we are totally dependent upon you. Every korban we bring, we need you, Ribbono Shel'olam, to make a difference in our life. We need you to help us bring us back. We need you in order to show us the way back to do tshuva. And therefore, for us to bring a chometz korban in front of the mizbeach is complete contradiction to the korban. Because that's showing independence when we totally depend on the Kodesh Baruch Hu's needs. On the Kodesh Baruch Hu's showing us a way back. On Shavuos, however, Shavuos is all about Kabbalas HaTorah. Ein ben chayrin ala misha oisik b'Torah. If a person does learn the Torah correctly, the person does learn the messages that the Torah is teaching us, then he becomes independent from his Yetzirah. He becomes totally his own balabos. And therefore, dafka on Shavuos, do we go along and we bring a korban to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, showing us that with Torah, we become independent. That's with Seoir. And that's why Shavuos becomes mutter. What's honey? Honey represents sweetness of fruits. What's pshat in that? Sweetness of fruits shows the connection we have with Eretz Yisrael, with the Tefillah of Eretz Yisrael, with the connection we have with the land. And therefore, if we brought a portion of our fruit and we made that into a korban, it's as if you're saying to Rebbeinu Shleilam, I'm giving you something, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm giving you a present. Something that belongs to me, I'm giving it to you. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you foolish person. The land does not belong to you. The land belongs to me and I gave it to you. In other words, I am the one who owns Eretz Yisrael. I'm the one who owns the land. Why are you bringing me a korban? I don't want your honey. I don't want your fruit. It's nothing about you owning something, giving it to me. I own it. And therefore, I don't want your honey. Masha Ein came on Shavuos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, on the Yom Tov of Shavuos, if you understand that you received Eretz Yisrael in order to help you learn Torah, in order to make you a better person, in order to make you a person who inspires other people in depending himself with the Rebbeinu Shleilam, then I don't mind if you bring honey. I don't mind if you bring bikurim. Bring any fruit you want to the Mizbech. That's absolutely fine. So too, we find this same thing when it comes to Shirayim. Shirayim means the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you do A, and then allow you to eat B. And therefore I do A, I makriv the Emerim, I bring the parts of the korban up on the Mizbeach, and the Kodesh Baruch allows me to eat B, the leftovers. If I go now and be makriv the B, be makriv the Shirayim, what I'm saying to Rebbeinu Shleilam is, Rebbeinu Shleilam, it's mine, the whole way along. You haven't allowed me to eat anything. The first part is mine, the second part is mine, the part of the korban that was makriv so far belongs to me and I was makriv it. Whatever it is now, I'm makriv it. I'm the balabosi. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu, no. So Oren Devash teach us that you're not the balabos. You're dependent upon me. Where you live, your sustenance is dependent upon me. And therefore, I have allowed you now to eat the Shirayim simply because you did what you're supposed to be doing. To go now and to be makriv the Shirayim and say, Rebbeinu Shleilam, it's all mine. I'm deciding who eats what. Says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, I don't want it. And that's learnt from Chol Se'or V'Chol Devash Timon O'Yishol Hashem. You're not dependent. You rely fully upon Rebbeinu Shleilam to teach us a derech to do tshuva. To show Rebbeinu Shleilam that we're totally dependent upon him for our parnasa, dependent upon him with the limud Torah, dependent upon him for tshuva, and ultimately we are saying to Rebbeinu Shleilam, we are all yours. We understand and appreciate that the blame falls upon us. We've got to do tshuva. We're not blaming anybody else. Help us. Odom ki yakriv mikem korban Hashem. Come close to Rebbeinu Shleilam, then it will be a real korban to Rebbeinu Shleilam.